For over 30 years, Latin America has been on record as having more street children per capita than any other place on Earth. But whilst the phenomenon, and indeed frequent murder of street kids in countries like Brazil, has been well documented in the media, little mention is ever heard of the plight of street kids in Ecuador, which is home to the largest percentage of working street youth in all of the continent. Another factor that is often forgotten or not realised when looking at the issue of street kids is that for every kid who literally sleeps in the street, there are 300 more who live on the street during the day but who sleep at night in a hovel or under a plastic sheet with their family members. With an estimated two-thirds of the population in Ecuador living below the poverty line, there are around 100,000 youths scratching a precarious living by working on the nation's streets. There are also around 10,000 street kids housed in shelters overnight, and an estimated 1,000 hardcore street kids. This last group, who have usually been abandoned or abused by their parents, eat, sleep, work, play and survive on the street, without the support of family, shelters or adult supervision. Father Matthew Gamba is a Jesuit priest and journalist who helped with a church-run project in Ecuador that assists former street kids and their families to overcome the problems of chronic poverty and keep children off the streets. He told me more about this project and the wider problem of homelessness in general.
Right. There was a Jesuit from New York, Father John Halligan, and he has been down there since the 60s or so and began working with just a handful of these shoeshine boys, or these street children, really, very young, took them in and really became a father to them. But I think in his own kind of vision of the overall situation, that they were there because of situations at home with the family. So then he started addressing the whole family. And then this became a center for the working child. But it really, they call it a family of families. So he tries to address all the social issues and the spiritual issues that affect families in Ecuador that create the situation of poverty and problems.
What are, in fact, the most common factors that drive kids onto the streets? I mean, is it very common for parents to abuse their children in particularly in poor neighborhoods?
I didn't see so much of that physical abuse as much as just the lack of opportunity on the part of the parents, lack of education, lack of just good sound health and nutrition that would allow them to enter into just more the regular mainstream of things. So it's very basic things, and yet once those were addressed, the families started thriving. They could stay together and keep the children together. Otherwise, it seemed like they were living sort of very chaotic lives, and it was an opportunity to put a little bit of order in there, and then you could see the health of the family and these children in particular coming to life.
Is there a big problem there with the drug abuse? Is that sometimes a factor that can cause a breakdown in the family, or for the parents to become dysfunctional, and then of course that impacts on the kids?
What I saw was kind of two levels of things. One was people profiting from drug sales at the higher levels of society, but also at the lower levels there's problems with not so much like hardcore drug use, maybe drinking is an issue, and other escapes that really, again, prevent them from taking responsibility for themselves and their families. So it's a kind of a mix of these things. The problems kind of create a desire to check out, and then this creates the problems that follow.
And was it quite common to see kids living on the streets in Ecuador, and how young were some of them?
Well, I was fortunate in that the families that I was working with were really off the streets, but had been on the streets. And toddlers, infants, little kids, parents, if not exactly on the streets, very substandard housing.
And they weren't being schooled, for instance.
No, and that's what, once they came into the center, they started to receive quite a bit, and then they were also asked to contribute quite a bit. It was kind of a mutual, it wasn't just a one-way handout. It was an opportunity, hey, come in here, give of yourself, participate in these programs, education being a big part of it. And then we can see where we can go from here. So they really try to work with mom, dad, and children, keeping them together, which was so important.
And were they happy to be helped, or were they sometimes resistant? Because I've heard that sometimes street kids get addicted to being on the streets.
Oh, that's, yeah, not everyone, you know, they really sort of had to come in with, there were some rules and regulations, and some would come in and try it, and they didn't like it, and they would rather be kind of out there. But sort of when they hit a point where they say there's got to be a better way, then they were more receptive to at least what this particular program and center had to offer.
And what kind of survival strategies do kids living on the streets have to adopt? I mean, it's true, isn't it, that, for instance, a lot of the, particularly the females, but even the males, sometimes have to prostitute themselves, or they get involved in drugs or theft to get, just simply to get by.
There's a lot of, you know, street living is very difficult. They can become pretty crafty, pretty streetwise, and pretty street smart. I personally, you know, didn't engage in any of the, or see exactly some of this criminal behavior that you describe, but I just saw the sadness and the loneliness and sort of the desperation, and we tried to reach out and help them.
Now, turning to the wider issue of homelessness, have you been involved in any other projects? Have you any views or thoughts about this, you know, very common problem?
Most recently, in the United States, we're always addressing this issue, and each city is really trying to take better care. We, you know, it's seen for the United States in many ways a mental health issue and the addiction issue and the alcoholism and the drugs and things where people are really down and out. And so there's lots and lots of opportunities. I would say there's nowhere that if someone wanted help, they couldn't get it, but often it's that just taking that step. I think attitudes toward the homeless have changed. There's a greater sensitivity to them and a greater desire to help, and that there are really good solutions and good agencies out there, private and public, at least in the United States, to try to address these issues. So we really do everything we can to kind of support those and to get behind those and to really reach out as best we can, especially at this time of year.
In the States, is the problem of the homeless very visible? I mean, do you sometimes see people, I don't know, sleeping in cardboard boxes or on benches in a park or something like that? Or is it a problem that tends to be rather hidden away?
Different cities have different rules and regulations. In some places, it's very much more policed, and they are not given that kind of wide berth to set up wherever they would like. More and more, we're seeing that business owners, property owners, you know, just citizens want this problem addressed, not by arrest and jailing, but by working with the people to get them to a place where they can have better services. Certainly the winter is a huge time.
A huge problem,
when
it's cold,
right,
yes.
Right. And the parish I worked at had an opportunity to reach out, working with all kinds of churches, Catholic and non-Catholic. We were in a town near the city, so the homeless were more and more migrating out to the cities, out of the city into the suburban areas. So it's everywhere, and I think people are trying to find creative solutions to help them. But it's definitely not hidden. I think people know about it and see it and experience it as part of the day-to-day life. Hopefully less and less, because there's better and better care and services being offered. We also have the problem of women that are with children that are in abusive relationships, and this creates a homelessness as well, and this has to be addressed. And we have good, you know, shelters and private places and safe, secure places where women can go to escape abusive situations and not find themselves homeless, and that's very, very important as well.
I was speaking to Father Matthew Gamba, a Jesuit priest and journalist.